We've come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive his holy word, and to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. Recognizing that we come before God's truth today, we pray together, Lord God, as is on the screens. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done wrong in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sin. Restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Continuing to recount God's faithfulness amongst us, we use the psalm that's appointed for today, which is Psalm 104. And we'll say this psalm by alternate verse. We use verses 1 to 6 and then 37 through to 45, but we'll say it by alternate verse, alternate screens effectively. I'd say the first screen, you say the next screen. So give praise to the Lord and proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders that he has done, his miracles and the judgments that he pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. He brought out of Israel, laden with silver and gold, and from among their tribes no one faltered. Egypt was glad when they left, because the dread of Israel had fallen on them. He spread out a cloud as a covering, and a fire to give light at night. They asked, and he brought them quail. He fed them well with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and water gushed out. It flowed like a river in the desert. For he remembered his holy promise given to his servant Abraham. He brought out his people with rejoicing, his chosen one with shouts of joy. He gave them the lands of the nations, and they fell heir to what others had toiled for, that they might keep his precepts and observe his laws. Praise the Lord. There was a little link there from our psalm that we heard read at the beginning today and the psalm that we've recited together. The observing of God's precepts, the remembering of his commands, and finding freedom in them. That psalm that we've just recited together recalls God's faithfulness of past and encourages us to call it into the present, that we worship a God who is faithful in this very moment. Today, I have a little object with me. I wonder, does anybody know what it might be? It's a bag with stuff in it. Bird seed, that's right. It's a bag with bird seed in it. Now, we've started putting seeds out for the birds in our back garden. Some we'd done a while ago and we stopped doing, and we've started redoing it again. And it's interesting to watch what birds come to your garden whenever you do this, or how long it takes them to find the feeders before they continually start coming back. And we have one particular feeder, which is kind of like a tube with two little perches out the bottom of it, fill it with these seeds, and then the birds come and sit in the perch and they peck at the seeds. And so we gather all the seeds together and we put them into this long tube. And there the birds come and feed on the seeds, but only certain kinds of birds can perch there to feed on them. Others can't manage that. And it's interesting to watch that whenever the birds that can manage it, the blue tits or the house sparrows, can manage to perch there and peck at the seeds, some of the seeds fall out and fall to the ground. Whenever they fall to the ground, Principal Pete comes and eats them. Oh, Pastor Pete. Okay, I was corrected there. Did you see that? So there was a big pigeon came to our garden to eat the seeds. And we called him Principal Pete because whenever he arrived in the garden, he took control of all the other birds. So we thought he must have been the principal. But then we noticed that he had a little white stripe around his neck, and it was like a dog collar. So they started calling him Pastor Pete. So Pastor Pete comes and eats the seeds, as does the robins and other birds. And it's interesting to see that we've gathered everything into one place, but as that then gathers in one place, it gets scattered out across the bottom of our garden, feeding other people around, feeding other birds around. Today in our series, we're thinking about scattered worship. Last week it was gathered worship, that we gather together here or online, and then we scatter through the rest of the week. We gather together to be fed as we worship and hear God's word. And then we scatter the seeds that we've heard and taken into our souls and our hearts for the rest of the people who we meet this week. I wonder, what will you hear from God in this moment that you can take into your daily life during the rest of this week? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a God who is interested in every aspect of our lives. And thank you that you want to feed us today in order that we can feed other people with what you give to us. Help us to recall your faithfulness into our every situation this week. In your name, amen. Amen. I'm going to hear God's word read.
The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
For reading for us today. And as you know, we've welcomed Sarah. Sarah was ordained as deacon last Sunday. And so this is her first time at preaching in a dog collar. No pressure at all here. But we've heard from Sarah. She's opened God's word to us before. And so we really do look forward to what you bring to us this year, not only today, Sarah. So thank you for being a part of this community.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. But before we begin, before we open God's word and look at what he has to say to us today, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is so freely available to us. And as we come to look at it now, Lord, we pray that you would open our ears to hear you, open our eyes to see you, and open our minds to be willing to hear today what you need us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. The arrest and crucifixion of Jesus was a really disorientating experience for his followers. They had lost the one that they loved and they admired to this brutal execution. And to see Jesus alive after his death, which they had naturally assumed was the end, was utterly astonishing. Nothing in their Jewish history or faith had prepared them for what was occurring. To say that they struggled would be an understatement. And Matthew 28:16-20, which was just read, provides the narrative of the last recorded encounter of Jesus and the disciples. And it's Jesus' words that actually close the gospel, directed to return to Galilee where Jesus would meet up with them. The disciples followed, yet again, not knowing what they would encounter. And perhaps this resonates a little bit with us today, as we don't know what will happen tomorrow. Will we be able to see our friends? Will we be able to see our family? It's difficult to imagine what their journey was like, but it had to be a memorable one, It was the ultimate road trip, filled with long conversations that focused upon making sense of the mind-bending events that transpired, wondering what would happen next. This moment with Jesus would be an important time for them. They had lost everything in the catastrophic events that preceded this, and they were on their way to discover what, if anything, would be next. And we typically hear this passage read on Mission Sundays whenever at mission conferences or whenever missionaries come to speak at church. But the passage that we're looking at this morning is much more than that. The reference of the text is much broader. The text frames the basis for our communal identity and the life together for the movement that will become the church. I wonder if you've ever seen the 1993 film Cool Runnings. Hands up if you've ever seen it. I love it. Actually, it's Daniel's favourite film. But if you haven't seen it, it's about the 1988 Winter Olympics. And there's these guys and they think that they can win. They're from Jamaica and they think that they can win. So what they do is, in order to go on the bobsled team, they each have to run at the same time, at the same pace. They have to run and at the same time they have to jump into the bobsled in order to get speed. And they have this line that they say, and it's something along the lines of, feel the rhythm, feel the ride, jump in the bobsled and here we ride. Something along the lines of that. But our life happens in rhythms. We wake, we sleep, we eat, we work, we rest. The sun comes up and goes back down. Winter gives way to spring, unless you live in Northern Ireland, when it can be a mix of seasons in any day. And in a similar way, the worship life of a Christian takes place in rhythm. We worship gathered and we worship scattered. The Message version of the Bible gives a little bit of a different saying to this passage that we're looking at today. And sometimes I find it helpful if you look at another translation. So the Message is a paraphrase of the Bible, but I'm just going to read to you now what it says about Matthew 28. So it says this: Meanwhile, the 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee, headed for the mountain Jesus had set for their reunion. The moment they saw him, they worshipped him. Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in the way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do all this day after day, right up to the end of the age. You see, this passage is called the Great Commission. It's not called the Great Suggestion. It's not an optional extra for us. It's the very reason of the church's existence. And within this passage, there are four alls. Firstly, Jesus has all authority given to him. Secondly, we are to make disciples of all nations. Thirdly, we are to teach that we should obey all that he has commanded in his earthly life. And finally, the promise that closes with is that he will be with us always. These four alls capture much of what this paragraph intends to communicate, and even the Gospel of Matthew itself. So we'll look at them all briefly. All authority. One of the most striking things about Jesus' life on earth was that although he was divine, he was also human. He lived this life. He experienced every joy and every challenge. Yet he has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. and as the disciples' teacher, Lord of all. All nations. The purpose of God is to be reconciled with all of humanity, which includes every nationality, every race, every age, and every personality. Jesus' ministry was primarily limited to Jewish people throughout Matthew's Gospel, but here the boundaries are now expanded to include all of humanity, giving it an international, a scattered scope. The disciples in this passage are still students, they're pupils, they're learners. And I find it amazing whenever you are a child that you can't wait to grow up, be an adult. And then whenever you become an adult, you want to go back to school and be like a child and have a more simple way of living. There's this story of a teacher who received quite a number of absent letters one day. And they were all along the lines of, the dog ate my homework, I had a tummy bug, something happened in my family and I couldn't come in. But she got a really surprising one morning, and it said this: please excuse Jennifer for missing school yesterday. We forgot to get the Sunday paper on the porch, and when we found it on Monday, we thought it was Sunday. Just like Jennifer, the disciples and the followers of Jesus didn't always get it right in life, but Jesus trusted them, and he still trusts us today to take this important message to all people. Further, he says that they are to baptize people in the name of the Trinity. And we know that this baptism is a ritual and initiation into the church. And it marks our movement from death to life, that our earthly bodies are not the end. All that he commanded. Of all the Gospels, Matthew's is the most teaching oriented. Matthew structures his gospel in such a way that he includes the five major teachings of Jesus. The third part of this commandment is to teach those who become disciples to do everything that Jesus commanded. And Jesus has previously said within his word that we can't merely listen and not do anything about it. He says in Matthew chapter 7, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. We must act on his words and not merely listen to them. Our actions should reflect our beliefs. You've maybe seen in churches statements of faith called the creed, which would usually be said at communion. And you'll see that some people know this off by heart and can just recite it because they've grown up with it. But Matthew reminds us that faith without appropriate behaviour is empty. We may know the creed off by heart, but do we live it out? The part of our daily lives. Always with us. Matthew closes with what is perhaps one of the most comforting statements of Scripture. Jesus, as Lord of all, promises to be with us, the church, always, even until the final day when he returns. This continuing, abiding presence of Jesus is a profound promise. The Gospel opens with a similar affirmation in which Jesus is named Emmanuel, a term that we'd usually hear, which means God with us. This ending reminds us of the person of Jesus in his earthly life. The one who shared space with people, lived and was present in them, and showed us exactly what God is like. I want you to note these final words: I am with you always. I hear these words addressed to you. I am with you, regardless of what you're going through. Right now, I am with you. See, this is one of the most famous passages in Scripture. But do we take it seriously enough? Or do we just use it for Mission Sundays when we talk about mission overseas? Because there's plenty of mission to be done in the city of Lisburn that will eventually scatter across the land. The children's ministry for the Connor Diocese is called Ripple. And the idea is that when one child hears the word of God, it will cause a ripple in a wave, and it will go from one to the other to the next, and it will scatter. Imagine if we went from this place today, not just hearing this, but living it out. Imagine if we each caused a ripple, a wave. Jesus calls us not to keep the story of his human life and the message that he brought hidden. He calls us to scatter it. Imagine if the word of God and the good news of Christ scattered and spread as rapidly, if not more, as COVID-19 did. Imagine that just for a minute. In the passage, it says, some doubted, yet Jesus gave them the charge. Jesus trusted them. He'll trust us. There's this story of a man who went on a starry night and he shook his fists at the heavens and he yelled, "Oh God, what a lousy world you've made. I could have done much better." Then a voice boomed from the clouds saying, "That's why I put you there, silly. Now get busy." Our motivation for this commission should be our faith in Christ. For the believer's current reality, most of our life is lived in scattered worship. Most of our life is lived outside of the people of God, of the church. And this is part of God's design. It says, "In heaven all worship will be gathered when the people of God dwelling together in the presence of God forever." When our regular gathered worship rhythm is interrupted, whether it be due to a season of personal family disruption, prolonged illness, church hurt, or even unforeseen circumstances like a global pandemic, it can be incredibly disorientating and lonely. We miss gathered worship, and rightly so. Gathered worship is we are reminded of our dependence on God. And scattered worship is the area where that dependence is lived out. In gathered worship, we are reminded of our dependence of God. And in scattered worship is where that dependence is lived out. Scattered worship is hard without the sustaining rhythm of gathering. So let's gather, whether it be in the building or online, so that we can go from this place today and we can scatter. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us the privilege to gather as a worship community, whether that be in the building or online. Father, feed us spiritually and nourish us as we gather. Lord, as we go from this place today, we pray that you would equip us to scatter. And even when we doubt, even when we think we can't do it, Lord, with us, challenge us to cause a ripple in wherever we live our lives out, Monday to Sunday, knowing that you will be with us always. In Jesus' name, amen.
And we remain in an attitude of prayer as we continue to come before the Lord. Lord, mindful that your word has been teaching us today to scatter what we gather in this place. Remind us of something that we have sung, said, or heard in this place today. Something that you want to impress upon us, to create more freedom within us. And Father, as we continue to develop a ministry amongst, we thank you for the ministries that happen in this place, have happened in this place, for the seeds that have been sown, for the seeds that will be sown. Lord, for other ministries that we participate in, for all age groups, we thank you for them, and we pray that in those scattered places, we continue to shine a light for you. But Lord, never help, never allow us to neglect the fact that we, our homes, in our families, in our workplaces, in our place, is of social. And help us to see that we scatter into those places, carrying the good news of the seed of your gospel with us. That we carry hope and light into those places. We carry your presence into those places. And to those, for whatever reason it might be, praying especially for those who we know are in hospital at the moment, for Eileen and for Rita. Your presence, your peace would be upon them. And we pray for those individuals who work on the frontline services. We pray for those who are involved in any way in providing essential services throughout this pandemic. We pray for those who have been affected by COVID-19. Lord, you give each of those frontline workers the grace, the wisdom, the strength that they need. And Lord, as we face into an uncertainty of what might yet come, we thank you that you are a faithful God who has promised to always go with us. As we pray, Our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Just before we close, a few very quick announcements as we scatter out into our community. DVK, or Deer Volgie Kids, online started last Friday night. That's an opportunity for primary school children to join into about a 30-minute online session each Friday evening at 6:30. You can still say, if you know someone in primary school, they can still sign up to that. All those details will be on our Facebook page and the website for that. We are looking at getting our young people together, so if you're of secondary school age, we would like to gather you together to begin to see what we can do for that age group. And so that's happening on Friday the 9th. It doesn't always have to happen on a Friday. All of that stuff's up for conversation, discussion. But the first one on a Friday night at 8 p.m., Friday the 9th. Again, details will be on our Facebook page and our website later today about that. Easter general vestry meeting didn't happen at Easter due to COVID-19. So we're having our Easter general vestry meeting in October. Now there you are. So our general vestry meeting has been released by the diocese, that we're to have it before a certain date in October. So we've had a conversation with the current select vestry and made a decision that maybe it would be better if we held a short general vestry meeting, which is open to anybody in the parish, after our Sunday service. That means we're not trying to gather you at a different time and a different space for all of the other restrictions and regulations that we have to carry out for that. And so we're hoping to do that on Sunday, the 4th of October, after this service. You're welcome to stay for that, but I need to give 2 weeks' notice that that is happening. Not stay today for that, obviously. That'll be a long time to sit and wait for it. But we'll be hearing more about that again next week. This is obviously a triennial year. We're not only electing church wardens, select vestry people, but also diocesan synods people and parochial nominators as well. But we hope they won't be needed. Well, I do anyway. I can't see your reaction behind those masks. But yeah. The other one then is that Harvest Sunday is coming up on the 11th of October. And with all of the restrictions and the guidelines, we're being encouraged not to decorate the church the way we normally would for Harvest, because that's gathering lots of people together at the same time. It's putting displays in place that people gather at to watch and to observe. And so what we're doing is a dry harvest, if you like, this year. So what we want to do is encourage you to bring dried food the way we would do for the food bank. And this will relaunch our giving for the food bank as well. So over the next couple of Sundays, or over the next couple of weeks as you're in and out of the building, just drop your dried foods that you would normally bring for a food bank into the box in the porch, or into a trolley that will appear in the porch, actually, over the next couple of Sundays would be fantastic. There is a list of items that the food bank are particularly in need of, rather small, but you'll find that online as well. So you can look through that and see what ones that you can provide for our Harvest Thanksgiving. The preacher at that service will be Bishop Ken Clark, who's coming to join us for that day, and we look forward to that. There will be a kids pack going out over the next couple of weeks as well for that, encouraging our children to participate in Harvest and provide things for it, so please look out for that as well. We're drawn to a close. The basket is for available, I keep forgetting to say this, the basket for free will offering envelopes is at the door on the way out. Just simply drop them in there in your way out. Or if you want to see how you can give in a different way, you can contact me or the treasurer and we'll give you the details of what's needed if you want to do something electronically in that manner. Well, we close today with the collect that's appointed for this 15th Sunday after Trinity. God, who in generous mercy sent the Holy Spirit upon your church in the burning fire of your love, grant that your people may be fervent in the fellowship of the gospel and always abiding in you, and be found steadfast in faith and active in service through Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.